Welcome back to A Better Night's Sleep, a podcast about sleep, sleep disorders, and evidence-based treatments by military health sleep experts. I'm Dr. Julie Kinn with the Defense Health Agency.
And I'm Dr. Jonathan Olin, sleep physician and medical director of the Evans Army Community Hospital Sleep Lab.
Today we're going to be talking about nightmares. This is one of the topics I get asked most often about when I'm speaking to service members and military physicians about our podcast. Today we'll be getting into what to know and how to deal with nightmares. John, how common are nightmares?
They're pretty common when they're mixed in with a person with an anxiety diagnosis, and especially PTSD.
Right, for post-traumatic stress disorder, having nightmares, recurrent thoughts while sleeping or awake is going to be part of it.
For sure. Exactly. So pretty common. And some people are more comfortable relating that they're having nightmares than, say, daytime impairment or daytime symptoms too. So, but anyway, yes, definitely common among patient population that I see. Obviously, I'm doing sleep and working with a military hospital. So definitely very common among the patients that we see.
What about nightmares following a trauma when an individual doesn't necessarily have a diagnosis of PTSD?
There's some data that 20 to 35% of people that experience a trauma will develop PTSD. For some traumas, that's higher. For example, sexual assault, there's some data that that's substantially higher. But overall, with individuals experiencing trauma, so again, within those populations, people that are traumatized, flood, combat, car accident, assault, it's not unusual at all that they'll develop nighttime symptoms, including nightmares.
So it sounds like today we're not talking about stress dreams, like when you wake up in the middle of the night and you think you're late for your college course. We're talking about nightmares related to specific trauma. Is that right?
Correct. Right.
So, John, when do you recommend folks get treatment for nightmares? Because I'm guessing that after a traumatic event, like let's say you see a car crash, it's going to be normal to have a couple of nightmares about it. At what point should we consider, okay, this is more than what's normal, this is starting to be unhealthy? When should folks go make an appointment?
Yeah, so it's kind of a standard answer, but when it causes or associated with social or occupational impairment impacting on the rest of a person's life. So, right, if someone just finished some form of basic training or just finished a college class and is done with finals, but then has a dream that they're late for morning formation or has a dream that they missed their final and they wake up once and that dream never recurs, obviously that person's not going to seek treatment. But if it's frequent and severe and impacting on their overall sleep, so frequency and severity impacting on their then daytime function or quality of sleep consistently, then I think, you know, obviously at that point it's sensible to go ahead and seek treatment.
What about nightmares that don't relate to a specific trauma? For example, maybe one of our listeners is experiencing post-traumatic stress, but the nightmares they're having aren't related to that event.
Sure, and that certainly happens, and I see that within my patient population. There'll also be people that say, my bed partner is saying I'm thrashing, I'm screaming, I'm tossing, turning, but I don't remember a thing. So,
right.
You know, in general, they're going to be having, most people would say they're having nightmares, but they don't recall them or don't report them.
Okay.
So there's a continuum where people are waking up every night with drenched in sweat and vividly recalling their nightmare to not recalling the nightmare to having a dream about something quasi-related or unrelated, say falling or can't find their car keys.
Right.
But actually the trauma was, for example, combat. But there may be some thread or some general connection between that. Maybe their nightmare of driving civilian, but actually they were, you know, driving when deployed and had traumatic experience with that. So again, if it's significantly interfering with their quality, quantity of sleep, daytime functioning, then obviously, regardless of the actual content I think it's sensible to go ahead and treat them. I'm a psychiatrist by training, and you know, Freud made wrote a lot of books and made a lot of statements about dreams. But in general, now when I'm treating people, I'm generally not exploring the quote meaning of the dream. We're interested in reducing the distress with the recurrent dream. So I don't have to, I'm not going to be saying, oh, you know, obviously this symbolizes this anyway.
That's good to know. I'm wondering, is that a standard in the military health system that if our listeners seek treatment for nightmares, it's not going to include a lot of traditional Freudian psychoanalysis?
I think so. Yeah, I think in general, if people are, if service members or for that matter, civilians come and their chief complaint is I'm having nightmares three times a week, then the goal is to stop those, hopefully to go to a nice round number like zero. Versus right. fully understand the significance and symbolism of each and every dream. So if some, anyway, I can't even think of a time a person's come to me and said, I really want to understand these distressing dreams better. They mostly just want them to stop.
Yeah. Before we get into treatment for nightmares, I have one more question. I've heard a lot of stories about so-and-so is having nightmares and woke up hurting their spouse or bed partner. Is that common or is that more apocryphal? Kind of a myth?
There are people that do act out dreams. It's certainly not common that most people with nightmares are actually significantly hurting a bed partner. But it does happen that people will slap their arms or move, etc. In general, for example, in the sleep lab, if one of our sleep techs is going to wake a person up, they'll try to do it in a stage of sleep, not REM. And they'll try to do it gently or maybe even ask the person before they go to sleep, is it okay when I come into the room to, you know, knock and call your name, et cetera. They're not going to rush up to someone who's had 10 deployments and shake them by the shoulder or right. something. There is something, maybe this is digressing, but there is something called night terrors that are different than nightmares. So nightmares generally occur out of REM stage sleep, rapid eye movement sleep. They're generally vivid and often complex. Night terrors are out of N3 sleep, non-REM sleep, deep stage of sleep. The person may scream, they may open their eyes, but they appear asleep. And it can be frightening for bed partners or household other individuals in the household. When they do wake up, they don't recall a dream.
That must be so frustrating.
Yeah, so it's a variation of, or it's a type of parasomnia, like sleepwalking. But in this case, they're not walking, they're screaming, typically with vocalizations. But again, they don't recall dream content. So there are people with terrifying nightmares that generally occur out of REM, and when they wake up, they recall the dream. That's a nightmare, not a night terror. So the night terror, night terrors are generally seen with kids, and they often or generally do outgrow them, meaning as their brain develops, they stop.
Okay, fascinating. So I know that you normally work with adults. Would you be able to speak to treatment for night terrors as well, or should we just focus on nightmares?
We should generally focus on nightmares because they're more common among our adult patient population. But night terrors, in general for kids, you look at them, assist them with, quote, outgrowing the condition and find out if there's anything that's fragmenting their sleep. Anything that fragments sleep makes parasomnia. Para means like, and somnia sleep. So like sleep activities such as night terrors or sleepwalking, anything that fragments sleep makes parasomnia, including night terrors, more likely. So if a person has obstructive sleep apnea, if a person has restless leg syndrome, if a person has even PTSD with nightmares that's fragmenting their sleep, they may then maybe more prone to night terrors. So finding and going ahead and trying to treat anything that's fragmenting sleep, so as sleep's then consolidated, the parasomnia can be reduced.
So tell us about some of the evidence-based treatment for nightmares.
There's overall two evidence-based treatments for nightmares, two of the most evidence, the best evidence, in my opinion. So one is a medication called Prazosin or Minipress. It was developed as a blood pressure medication, and it's, I think, generic now. and there's data or studies in using an off-label, meaning and the FDA has not approved it. In general, drug companies don't want to spend a lot of money looking and getting FDA approval for something that's generic. That's used in various doses. I generally start, if I do prescribe it, with 1 milligram and take it at night, and then can go up to, I often will stop at 7 or 8 milligrams. That's taken nightly. People do need to be careful and review that with their prescriber that, for example, at the first dose and any dose increase, they need to be careful about drops in blood pressure because it's, as stated earlier, a blood pressure med. So people can get up and then feel lightheaded. So I always advise people with their first dose to get up or not even just sit up, put their feet off the edge of the bed, wiggle their ankles around, flex their knees a little bit, and then stand up. And if they feel lightheaded, sit immediately back down. So that's certainly been used and is used. Definitely the most common medication that's used. In my opinion, the one with the most data. But the treatment that I really like, especially for our population, is a treatment called image rehearsal therapy, or IRT. And this is used for people with recurrent nightmares. So especially if the person's having the same or say 3 or 4 recurrent nightmares over and over again. I'll ask someone if they're having recurrent dreams or recurrent distressing dreams. And generally many people will say yes. And then I'll review with them what image rehearsal therapy is. And if they're interested, we then go ahead and proceed, including in the first session often. And people have different ways of explaining it, but the way I explain it is dreams are virtually all visual. They're often following a trauma. So if someone has a civilian car accident, they may then have dreams of that car accident. They don't smell, for example, screeching the smell of rubber in their dreams. It's, again, generally visual. So with image rehearsal therapy, the goal is to improve imagery skills, visualization skills, then take their least distressing dream, write it down, then write down what they want it to be, and then rehearse that new dream or changed dream. For example, if I have a car accident, then instead of me dreaming about getting T-boned or being in my car accident 3 times a week, I would practice imagery skills till I was pretty good at it. I say ballpark 8 or 9 out of 10 clarity. Then I write down my least distressing dream, write down what I want the dream to be, and then rehearse that new dream. All these steps are done about 20 minutes a day. In other words, they don't require hours and hours, but if someone's practicing IRT 2 minutes twice a week, they're probably not going to get much better. But if people are practicing their imagery 20 minutes a day, could be 10 minutes twice a day, they can improve their imagery skills till they're approximately 8 or 9 out of 10 clarity, then start modifying the dreams. The goal is that they are going to be more of a driver of their dreams and less of a passenger. So they're not just kind of blindly, if you will, putting their head on the pillow and saying, oh, I hope the car accident or the IED or the flood or whatever the trauma isn't too bad tonight. The goal is that they then have the ability to actually take control of the dream, to be a driver of their dream instead of just a passenger. People then march up sequentially up to their worst or most unpleasant nightmare.
It's a phenomenal approach, and I know the data and the evidence behind it is great, and that's part of why it's being adopted throughout the military health system.
In my experience, a substantial portion of people get significantly better. Not everyone, but my experience, over 80% of people get significantly better.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so that's a good number with no side effects. I've used it with people that don't clearly recall their dream, but their bed partner report that they're thrashing. They do recall the trauma, say it was combat or non-combat, and then they have used these same skills and then think about what they're probably dreaming about, modify what they think they're dreaming about to a different image or sequence, and then rehearse that, and they've gotten better.
It's one of those treatments that can be a little difficult to take in all at once as you're listening to a podcast, but fortunately, there's lots of good information on it out there, I'll put the link to a handout in the show notes, but I also, of course, want to refer people to an app we made in the Defense Health Agency called Dream Easy. It's just the word dream and then the letters E and Z, and it walks you step by step how to do imagery rehearsal therapy with your clinician, or even if you don't have a clinician yet, it can help you understand the essentials of the treatment. And of course, like all the mobile apps and websites we make in the military health system, it's completely free for military and civilians and very highly secure.
I think it can be of significant benefit to a number of people that currently, you know, could be using it.
The Dream Easy app is a pleasant app to use, too. I've got to say the team did a great job with it. It walks you through the skills used in imagery rehearsal therapy, and you practice visualizing fun, nice experiences.
I'm not sure I said this earlier, but in general, the images that people are practicing are only pleasant, including when they're acquiring the skill. They'll pick something that's real, maybe them sitting in their living room, or imaginary, walking on a beach on Tahiti. They've never been to Tahiti, but they saw it on History Channel, and then just imagine that with, say, the sun glancing off the waves and walking along the beach. So again, there's no reason to rehearse an actual nightmare. That's already been rehearsed enough. The goal is to develop imagery skills that are good and vivid to then begin to modify the dreams.
Thank you, John, as always, for helping us better understand this topic. Nightmares and imagery rehearsal therapy is timely, as always, in our military community. Listeners, we're hoping to hear from you to get your feedback on this show and to hear what other questions you have about sleep and evidence-based sleep treatments. A Better Night's Sleep podcast is produced by the Defense Health Agency. You can get in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter at Military Health. Be sure to check out our other podcasts. And if you like this content, be sure to rate and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get podcasts. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next time. Until then, we hope you get a better night's sleep.